the GM on ESPN 102.5. The game, Titans and Panthers on Sunday. I'm getting worried about the Panther game, and not because of the Panthers. I mean, McCaffrey worries me and all of that, but Ben Jones is in the concussion protocol. Roger Saffold was a full participant today in practice, but he is also technically in the protocol. Not that I like either guy, honestly, as a player, but I certainly don't like the idea of all backups and Taylor Lewan on the offensive line.
I don't know that we have enough backups to fill all those roles.
Well, they cut Darius Jennings today.
Yeah. So they're going to bring somebody in.
They signed Honoris Grasso or whatever, who was Mariota's roommate or whatever. They brought him back, and they cut Darius Jennings today for whatever reason. I don't know. My guess is Pam Thiel may get to play on Sunday. I don't know. But that's starting to scare me a little bit when I look at the defensive front of the Carolina Panthers.
You don't want any of that.
So that's something that you got to look at. We'll get to that in a little bit. An interesting story. By the way, we're live at Pete and Terry's Tavern, Bridgestone Arena. We'll be giving away Preds tickets in 45 minutes. So come on out and register if you want to go to tonight's game. And we'll have the winner at 4:45. It's also Halloween. Floyd refusing to dress up for Halloween.
I'm dressed.
In a 102.5 The Game.
I'm
fleece.
I'm your trainer.
I'm a panda, and pandas don't get
no
trained.
No pandas.
This is a panda.
A panda. We don't suit. Need a short, chunky, roly-poly panda.
That's what pandas are.
I know. We don't. That's not a good image for the show.
I'm a panda.
A killer whale.
I'm a panda.
Is the image we need.
I am a panda. I am not
panda.
Jaws.
Guess what? My 5-year-old granddaughter would fall in love with you. Panda.
Well, that makes me a little uncomfortable because...
Panda.
You know, I feel like your 5-year-old granddaughter would love me because I keep you in check every day, and she loves you.
Oh, yeah, she does love Papa. I'll say that now.
Now, and think about it. If anybody's the trainer here, I think I'm the trainer, and you are the radio guy.
Yeah, maybe true.
But, Floyd, I offered to buy you a Santa costume, and you... dress up as Santa today, and you want to know part of that.
I told you, I'm not big into Halloween.
What are you big into?
I like Christmas. Give me Christmas. Give me Thanksgiving.
If I buy a Santa suit for Christmas, will you wear it around Christmas time?
Dress up for the kids?
No, dress up for the show.
No, why? Christmas? You don't wear costumes on Christmas.
You wear Santa costumes. I promise this. If you wear a Santa costume, I will dress up as an elf.
And I can pick your costume?
Well, you have to, like, get... I mean, I'm not going to wear, like, a bikini.
Are you going to pick mine?
It's a Santa costume. It's the same. There's no... It's like this
elves.
Little pumpkin bucket that has all the candy elves. In it. It's a... You don't get any other pumpkin. This is a pumpkin bucket. This is what it looks like.
And we know what an elf looks like.
Right, but you want to pick out the costume because you want to make it wild and crazy, and I don't trust you.
It's elf costume.
So how about this? Ryan can pick them both out. Get yourself some candy, sir. Ryan can pick out the Santa and elf costume. How about that?
No.
Okay, you can pick out the elf costume. Will you dress up as Santa?
Oh, what am I going to dress up as Santa for?
What are you gonna do
for a show? I mean, you talking about to do a show?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
We're going to do the Jared and the GM show. You're dressed up as Santa. I'm dressed up as an elf.
Yeah, no.
Okay, to the Titans. So if there's anything that Ryan Tannehill's proven, so we've talked about, do you try to give Tannehill a contract now? Do you think Tannehill's a big-time starter? All of that. We don't know the answer to that. But if anything in the last two games, and really the season when you look at the defense, has Ryan Tannehill proven that the Titans don't need to draft a rookie in the first round and start over next year? The pieces around the quarterback put you in a position to where you don't want to have a rookie quarterback next year?
I think that's what we're trying to find out again. I mean, that would be ideal if you had confidence he could come in and be the guy and prevent you from having to go out and draft a young quarterback real, real high?
Well, it doesn't have to be Tannehill. It could be a trade for Stafford or a trade for Derek Carr or Andy Dalton or...
Well, yeah, but I don't think John wants his draft currency. I'm just guessing. Now.
Well, if you sign Andy Dalton next year, though, then you have your draft currency, and Andy Dalton's your starting quarterback.
Oh, because he's unrestricted?
Right.
Oh, yeah, any of the unrestricted guys.
So I'm just saying that, like, instead of using your first pick or your first pick and more to move up to draft a quarterback, would you be better off in going with a veteran? Because, like, let's say the Titans did draft Joe Burrow in the first round, and Joe Burrow's the quarterback next year. Now, I don't know what kind of player Joe Burrow is going to be in the NFL or anything like that, but we know they're not going to be able to get Tua. If you draft Joe Burrow in the first round, I mean, the best you can probably be is 9-7 or something, even if your defense is really good and carries them, because a young quarterback is going to make mistakes. A veteran quarterback gives you a better chance to win when you've got all the pieces in place. And that's just the point I'm trying to make is, are there enough pieces in place that would say, no, you don't want to put a young guy in the middle of this because he's going to have to learn and that's going to slow the whole team down. And by the time he's ready, Malcolm Butler, Logan Ryan, that's Taylor Lewan, Kevin Byard will all be out of their
all those guys are gone. You know, by then, by the time you get this next guy ready, those guys are long in the tooth. You know, so all of a sudden, now you've got the young quarterback with no defense, no tackles, no, you know, and he's trying to survive. I mean, that's a difficult thing. And you've heard me say it before, I mean, that's the hardest part in the NFL about matching all this up. In the other sports, you can, you know, if you only got five guys, you got a pretty good chance of matching things up. Now. Mm-hmm. You know, you only got 20 guys, you got a pretty good chance. You got 53, you know, really 63 guys. Trying to match all those guys up and have them mature at the same time, have them all be ready to play at a championship level. It's hard to do now. That's tough.
Now, the argument for this would be that in year two, your team should still be intact for this rookie quarterback. And if you draft the next Mahomes or the next Deshaun Watson, that might be good enough.
And what are the chances of that happening? When's the last Mahomes you saw? Who's the last Mahomes you saw?
Mahomes.
Besides Mahomes.
Watson.
Besides them, at last, back. Nobody.
Carson Wentz was really good.
Nobody is the answer.
Dak Prescott as a rookie was good.
Nobody is the answer. Nobody in their first year threw 50 touchdowns. Not even close. Not even in the same atmosphere. So there's those guys come along once every 20 years. So if you get one of those, yeah, you're pretty lucky. But the odds of you doing that, I mean, it's Vegas.
I know, but a lot of people thought when Kansas City drafted Mahomes, they thought, why are you drafting Mahomes to sit him on the bench for a year under Alex Smith? And then you gave up on Alex Smith, and you had won a lot of games under Alex Smith, and you were like, are you sure you want to go to the young guy in favor of Alex Smith?
And they were.
And they were like, yes.
Yeah.
And so that would then argue that you may take your lumps for that first year, but in that second year, third year, if you draft
well,
a truly –
he didn't play his first year.
Right, but I'm talking about the second year. Butler and Lewan and those guys will still probably be NFL players, still probably pretty decent players. Then you could have a superstar quarterback, which would be better than Derek Carr or Ryan Tannehill.
Well, yeah,
or
but
Matthew
you're
Stafford
counting
or...
on drafting Mahomes, and I'm telling you, you're not going to do that. You got to wait another 20 years, then you get your shot.
You could have drafted Mahomes or Watson when you had your fifth pick.
Right. When you have these guys, it's like we were talking about Aaron Rodgers. I mean, all of the Aaron Rodgers, the Tom Brady, these guys that are drafted other than the first, it's not because they decided, you know what, Aaron Rodgers is going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback, so I'm going to wait until the 24th pick to get him.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody does that. Nobody says that. That doesn't happen. They luck into it, and it works out, and it worked out great. And the same thing with Mahomes. Nobody says, you know what, I'm going to pass up on that guy, let him go down to like the 14th pick and draft these other two guys and see how well they do. I mean, that's not the way it works. And that's why I'm saying those guys just don't come along. If they did, every team in the league would have one.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just hard to find.
So are you convinced the Titans need a veteran quarterback starting in 2020?
No, I'm not. I mean, the process will take care of itself. If there's somebody out there that they fall in love with that they can sign, I'm sure they'll do it. Because you've got a team that's in pretty good shape, and you've and a veteran guy could certainly help you more. Now, are you going to be willing and able to pay whatever it's going to cost you to get that guy, whoever it is? Because if you really like him, there's probably several teams out there that really like him. And so, you know, are you going to get in a bidding war and win that? And if you can do that and it works out, then great. You know, the chances of one of those veteran guys working out for you is better, certainly, than one of the rookies.
So let's take your calls on this. Do you think the Titans need a veteran quarterback with this defense next year? Or would you be willing to roll the dice and draft a young guy and start him? 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And is the Titans defense good enough to win with a rookie quarterback in 2020? Jared and the GM will discuss that coming up next. Chris be going to be joining us in a little bit, live from Pete and Terry's Tavern. Jared and the GM, it's Halloween. It's ESPN 1025 the game.
With the offense, now that you've had two games with Tannehill, what do you want to see maybe see this offense maybe develop or improve on at this point?
It all comes down to the consistency. I mean, I think that going back through the film, there's really nice plays, really good plays against run and pass against a really good run defense. And so we just have to be more consistent. And, you know, we have to try to get everybody operating, the play, all 11, the quarterback getting us in the right play, the line, you know, getting us started on a run or giving us a pocket or protection in a play pass or drop back or screen or in the keepers or whatever we're doing. You know, receivers running routes and identifying man and zone and running good routes, and then the quarterback being decisive and operating in an efficient manner. But we continue to score touchdowns in the red zone, which has helped us.
That was Mike Vrabel. You think a rookie quarterback can do all those things Vrabel wants a quarterback to do? Get us in the right protection, get us in the right play, put the ball in the end zone, so on and so forth?
Be tough.
So that's where I just don't know if I don't know if I want a rookie quarterback running the Titans next year.
Let's hope you have a choice.
But I don't want to miss out on Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes. You could be like the Texans. Remember how the Texans ended up with Watson? People forget this. The Texans traded a second to Cleveland with Brock Osweiler in order for Cleveland to take on Osweiler's contract, because they thought they were going to get Tony Romo, because they thought they had a team good enough to compete if they had Tony Romo. And then Jerry stepped in, and Jerry said he wasn't going to release Romo, so because he didn't want him playing for the Texans. And I guess, like, that cost the Cowboys Barry Church and J.J. Wilcox and, like, some defensive players, because Jerry was not going to let Tony be on the Texans, as he had a say in it. And then Tony ended up abiding by Jerry's wishes and signed with CBS. So the Texans thought they were going to get Tony. They didn't. And then they had to scramble at the last minute, and then they drafted Deshaun.
Yeah, there's always a great story behind these guys and how you end up with them and why you end up with them. And it's everybody thinks it's complete science, and some guy just analyzes it, and analytics come in, and they use all this information, and it's just a slam dunk pick. And that's, generally speaking, not the truth.
You think what it is usually is you're sitting there saying, well, don't have a quarterback, and I'm picking fourth, so I guess I'm picking a quarterback.
Yep.
Let's go to your phone, 615-737-1025. Mike is up next on the Titans. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, I think, Jared, we have to do both. And I know that's a cop-out way of answering your question, but I think next year our best-case scenario needs to be that Tannehill pans out and he can re-sign for us for another year, two-year contract, and we have to take a top quarterback at the first end of this draft coming up or the first end of the following draft so we can make sure that we have somebody backing up. But again, it's buyer's beware with Andy Dalton, Matt Stafford, Joe Flacco, those guys. I just don't know what to expect, but I think we have to go with a veteran, at least if we still have this window of competitiveness. Thanks, Jared. Well,
thank you for the call, Mike Floyd. What do you think of that?
Well, yeah, I mean, the thing you find out with a veteran is it's not if he can play. you know he can play because you can see that on film. The question is, how does he fit in with your system? And even though you're saying to yourself, okay, we run the same system as Team X, so he should fit right in. Well, it never seems to work out that way. And therein lies the rub. That's the rub with the veteran guys. Fit into your system? Does he fit into your locker room? Can he work with your coaches? Can he? Oh, what kind of guy is he? What kind of practice habits does he have? It's not so much ability. You know, when you're going with a college kid, you're asking those same questions, but then you're also asking, is he just good enough? Mm-hmm. You know, can he throw at the NFL level? And a lot of that stuff you don't know.
How do you evaluate a quarterback like that?
Oh, it's tough now. And I've tried it.
I feel like it's a lot easier to spot the bad ones than it is the good ones.
Absolutely. And I've tried it a couple of ways. I mean, I've tried it twice and a couple of different ways. And, I mean, I tried to break. We got to the point where when we were working out the three quarterbacks, I had the workout written out. The receivers that he threw to, we took with us on the plane. Mm-hmm. That quarterback was throwing exactly the same patterns to exactly the same receivers and exactly the same method. And we thought, okay, this will help us analyze, you know, arm strength or accuracy or decision making or whatever the case may be. I mean, we tried to cover every base, and you know, you still end up with, you know, shot in the dark.
Are you allowed to do that by NFL rules? Take players on the plane to work out with?
Yeah, your players.
Really?
We took our players.
Oh, I didn't know you were allowed to do that.
Yeah.
I figured it'd be against, like, the collective bargaining agreement to ask them to do work outside of.
No, we took. Now, this is back, you know, way back.
Back in the day?
Right now, I don't even think you can talk to them during that time.
Yeah. If you're breathing the same air as them, it might be a problem. Robert in Nashville up next on the Titans. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Robert.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Robert.
Hey, good to hear from you guys. I was listening to you, Jerry. I think, you know, they do need to go with maybe, I guess, a more experienced quarterback. But mainly, if they don't go that route, I think it all starts with the line. The line is the key thing, I think, for any team because, I mean, you got a line, you got, you know, you're able to have your quarterback to be able to stand back in and see where you're going to throw to. And then you're able to run the ball. See, no matter what, if you get a quarterback and you ain't got no line, you can't move the ball around to your players. And that's all I got. And, you know, I don't know. This team here, it just, like I said, they got a few more things to try to plug in, and they might be pretty good team next year. I don't know if they should just throw the rest of this year. I know that's bad. And
Robert, I need to ask you a serious question. It's Halloween, and for this I need to ask you a serious question. What do you think of your guy Mike Vrabel's coaching at the end of some of these games?
Well, I don't think, you know, that he made, you know, especially this last game, a good decision on, on play calling. But, I mean, he's still in his learning process. And, you know, he's a whole lot better than that Mike Mularkin freak. So we don't move up. You know, we don't upgrade it. So, you know, we could get another coach in here, and he'd be a whole lot worse than Mike Vrabel. You know, at least Mike Vrabel, you know, he's getting out there, and I've been listening to people. He's consistent. You know what you're going to get from this guy because, you know, he's going to go for it. I mean, it's not like people didn't know what he was going to do.
Hey,
I mean, we all know what he's going to do. So I'm for it, you know, because I knew that's what he was going to do. He's not like that unpredictable, that Mike Mularkin freak. That guy, he just sat over there and he started doing all kinds of crazy stuff. You're like, what in the world, this guy? What planet is he on? But anyway, guys, thank you.
Thanks, Robert. Rob. It took Robert some time to convince himself
that was great.
Of the road he was going. And once he got going, You know, first there were a lot of, you know, well, you know, and then once he got going,
we just had to get
the, he knows what he's going to do. He's going to go for it. AG is up next in the Titans. AG, quickly, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm cool with Coach Me here. Let's get it. Let's go for it, man. Let's win this game, man, if it ain't up 2 yards. But the quarterback situation, if it ain't broke, I ain't trying to fix it. If it ain't broke, I ain't trying to fix it. I'm a ride the Tannehill way till he showed me that he's not the quarterback for the job. And as far as the draft, if the third, fourth round come around and it's a GM and quarterback, I'm going to draft the quarterback. If not, I'm going to keep on building around Tannehill because he's showing that he's so far that he can competently drive the car. That's all I got.
Thanks, AG. I can't disagree with any of that.
No.
I mean, I could see the Titans taking a quarterback in the third or fourth. Like, even if they commit to Tannehill for a couple of years, I could see him taking a third-round quarterback and having that guy be the backup to Tannehill. Because to your point, Tannehill doesn't need every rep in practice. Like, you know, Marcus needed every rep in practice before. Crispy is going to join us live here from Pete and Terry's Tavern. He's going to hang out with us. We'll get the latest from Crispy on Halloween. That's coming up next. Let me tell you about Authentically American. They did not make this wonderful panda costume that I'm wearing right now. But they do make all of our gear. That's right. All of our 102.5 The Game gear comes right from Authentically American. And it is that great made in the USA material, not made in Indonesia, not made in Vietnam, not made, I'm going to guess the panda costume, probably made in China. Not made in any of those places, made in the USA, which means made in the USA quality. They can take care of you, whether it's workout gear with their new sweat ink with the secret messages activated by your sweat, or whether it's polos, sweatshirts, they can take care of it. Or if it's your business, just like our business, they can take care of you. Promo code Jared. My name, Jared, J-A-R-E-D, for 20% off of anything you buy from Authentically American. That's promo code Jared. My name, Jared, J-A-R-E-D, for 20% off at Authentically American. Authentically American online at AuthenticallyAmerican.us. Authentically American, the next iconic brand that is truly American-made. Jared of the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jared of the GM live at Bridgestone Arena, Pete and Terry's Tavern tonight. Calgary in town tonight against the Nashville Predators. Crispy, what's up, girlfriend?
I just have to apologize to the fans out there. Give me about 8 seconds here to get my I'm out of breath from laughing. Really. Panda.
Crispy is in rare form today on Halloween.
I'm coming in and I hear it, and the vision is just driving me nuts. I almost run over four scooters. Just to hit four scooters on my way in, thinking of him in a panda suit.
Panda. Jeez.
And I couldn't get any bamboo shoots to feed him with. So
bad image for the show.
No kidding. Panda. I mean, what would we, if we'd ask our fans out there, GM, what would Jared Stillman wear on Halloween? What do you think would be the answer?
Oh,
the Grim Reaper?
There you go.
Like Darth
you said,
Vader?
Axe murderer.
Yeah, one of those. Sure. Texas whatever. You know, a vampire. We'd have made a lot of money betting that nobody would bet a panda.
What you got against a panda?
And besides that, our power play's working well.
Yes, it is.
All right, Crispy, let's get to the game the other night before we get to this one. And I got a feeling. Take more, Animal. Take more candy. I got a feeling for this, and that is I could not take – I heard everybody on the radio talking about this is the best game the Preds have played all season. This is the best Tuesday. I'm sorry. That Chicago team, they owe the fans the money back because they were terrible. They didn't show up. I don't even – they didn't look like the Blackhawks anymore. I mean, I saw Taves on the back of the jersey, and I saw Kane on the back of the jersey, but it didn't look like the Chicago Blackhawks. So I just chalked that up to the Preds played a smart, normal game, and Chicago is just god-awful. So I don't take as much away from that as everybody else did. Do you take a lot away from Tuesday?
Yeah, I do. You know why? Because we were doing smart things against a hockey team. I don't care which hockey team was on the ice. We finally were smart for 60 minutes, and by smart I mean we were smart on our breakouts. We were smart coming through the neutral zone. We were sharp on our attack. And we met a goaltender who gave you a Pekka Rinne all-star performance in Robin Leonard.
Oh, I felt sorry for him.
GM, I didn't because I thought I'd just fire a few more because I'm my next coach. But, yeah, this kid stood on his head. It was 1-0, 2-0, 3-0. They had about five good shots at Peck. If they put him in, it's a 2-1, 2-2 game. They didn't do it at that given time. Would have changed his modus operandi over there. The Panda Bear would have had to do it. But Leonard was unbelievable.
So I'll take that win.
And I'll even take it even more so when you see Grimaldi and Bonino and Smith clicking and making it happen. That also made me very, very happy.
So I felt bad for Robin Leonard the other night.
You don't feel bad for anybody.
But what? I mean, the Predators got a... The Blackhawks took 20 shots for the game. The Predators took 19 in the first period. I mean, like that is... You can't compete in a game like that. But I do think this, and Floyd brought this up the other day. I thought Saturday night's win at Tampa was a freaking great regular season win, especially in October. But to go to Tampa without Forsberg and Duchesne and score power play goals and win against that team on the road, that said something. And then you followed up with a good game against a not-so-great Chicago team. Last year, and even maybe in years before this, there was a lot of playing up and playing down. This team, it feels like, is doing a lot of playing the same every night.
Consistency. And that's what the coaches have been preaching. We wanted consistency. We were, as you said, up in the top, down in the valley, etc. And that all came from the games we saw, as you mentioned. And you're dead on right, by the way, Stiller. That game in Tampa was a whale of a hockey game.
Oh, what a
good
win.
That's hockey game. Against Chicago, yeah, they're not the team of old. Yes, they're not as threatening as they used to be, but it was still a very – we played our game. As you said, we didn't play down to them. Tell you, tonight will be a litmus test. You know how many often I throw them? You're going to see a different team in this Calgary Flames. They're hungry, they're mean, they're fast, they can score, and we better bring our full deck of cards to this game tonight.
You mentioned the power play. The power play has gone from not very good. Not one we liked.
You're being polite.
To you know, pretty good. I mean, you look at it and you go, and there's no telling where it could end up.
Especially with Forsberg back in the lineup tonight.
Yeah, maybe it is just getting better and better and better. Why?
Probably because they put the mixture out there of guys who are good passers, but also some shooters. And the key is we getting guys in front of the net now. Like the game against Chicago, and I know Chicago's not a physical team, but we had guys in front of that net all night long, tipping. Bonino's hat trick, he got all almost the same. In front, dirty, gritty, slapping at loose pucks, making it happen. And our power play now, you can almost see when they come on the ice, they have a sense of purpose. And by purpose, I mean they have a play. It's not just bang, bang, bang. Oh, we're good. We're creative. We can make it happen. We don't need to play. We don't have to practice these plays they show. Our guys have got two or three set power plays, and you can see the mode coming as to what team they're playing, what mode they're going to try and implement that given time.
You've got your old team coming in tonight.
My alma mater, Calgary.
I know you got some Canadian buddies.
There's not many left. I got some. All my grandchildren and children live in Calgary. But they are true blue Predator fans, and they'll be Calgary fans. But my grandchildren are not adverse to switching jerseys. Believe me, they're not.
Get those jerseys.
They got one team on the front.
Double
the decker.
Team up, there you go.
No, they wear them one over the other. If one team's winning, it's on top. If they're not, but 8 seconds, the other team's on top.
Crispy with us. Crispy, Terry Crisp, presented by the Highland Group. You've been around hockey for a long time. I mean, almost as long as the GM's been around football, which is significantly longer than I've been alive for both of you. But
was that a slap at us?
I think so.
We'll take it, GM.
But Pecorine, what he's doing at his age. Now, look, he went through maybe 2 or 3 years ago a little bit of a swoon, and people are like, is something up with Pekka? Is something wrong with that? And then he had that cup final run where he was just unstoppable. Even in the game they lost in game 6 of the cup final, may have been one of his best performances ever. And he is everything you want in a franchise rock. And we know that, and he's been that way. He's won the Vezina. Even last year, the game they lost in Dallas, they lost that game in overtime, 2-1. Puck hits the post, goes in. He was that good in that Dallas game. He's good in big spots, all that. How is he doing it at this age? You've seen a lot of players. You've seen a lot of good goaltenders. You've seen a lot. How is Pekka doing it at this age, and at what point are we going to say, okay, even this is getting a little crazy?
You're going to do it. You'll have to help me. The quarterback for the Patriots.
Brady.
I mean,
What you're saying about Pekka, they say about Brady. Why? Yeah. You know what he is? He's a very talented athlete. Yeah. He's a talented athlete. He looks after himself. He knows the game. He studies the game. He doesn't take practices off. He knows what he's doing. Pekka is the same. And Pekka and all these guys, Brady, Pekka, go on down the list of stars like that, have pride, a sense of pride. And as soon as the press and the fans and the people say, oh, they're done, they're finished, yeah, I'll show you how done I am. I'll show you how finished I am. And Peck is that type of a kid. Like, they're saying, well, Saros is very, he's a, yes, he might one day be heir apparent to the throne. But I've told you this before. Pekka Rinne is not handing his throne over to anybody. Believe me. If you inherit his throne, you'll have earned the right to have it.
You know, it's funny. I've been around players of that caliber a little bit, and you have too. And I remember talking to him about, you know, What's your frame of mind? How do you get here? How do you? And the one thing I think every one of them has always said to me is, "Yeah, I understand. I want to be good. I want, but I fear losing,
and hate losing.
Yes.
I fear it and hate it.
And it's like somebody puts a dagger in their heart.
And those guys are born. Yeah. They're not made. They're born that way." Yeah. And that's what Pekka Rinne is. And
you see the captain and maybe the arguably best player signs this long-term contract. Got to be good for the team. I think you look at a whole series of contracts that they've got in order, in line. I mean, it looks really, really good. In your mind, kind of where's this team? How long can they be upper echelon team?
I think if the guys that they've signed, and David Poile's done a masterful job of what he's done, and you know as a GM, the guys you had to sign and how happy your coach was when you come to him and said, listen, I just signed you da-ding, 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 da-ding for 5 years, 4 years, 6 years. Thank you. Kiss you on both cheeks, big guy. I love it in that way. But having said that, and I always love the story about Scotty Bowman, the greatest, best hockey coach I think ever, and after one summer, training camp opens up, and he just signed four guys and really good contracts. And he comes in the dressing room, and he points to the first one. He says, wasn't I good to you over the summer? What are you doing playing like this? Second guy, did I not treat you well over the summer? Did I not? Why aren't you playing like four guys? So he was letting them know that, hey, I gave you candy over the summer.
A little back.
We need a little candy back from you.
I got candy right here for you, Crispy, right here in this.
I know you got a whole bucket full there. On your desk.
And you know what's going to happen?
I don't take
too,
candy if, from a panda bear.
If enough people don't come and take all this candy here, you know exactly what's going to happen.
I know.
You go home and fill up your panda suit.
I'm going to be eating candy.
You'll be on the couch tonight watching the late news, just munching away in a bar.
I'll be watching you on TV tonight on Fox Sports Tennessee, Crispy. This team. I mean, it's so hard because the season is so long. It's so hard for me to get too excited about Halloween hockey and October hockey and what they're doing. But they've got some great wins already this early in the season. I mean, when do we want to really feel good about this team? And where are we now? If you were coaching this team, how would you kind of manage your feelings knowing how long it is until the playoffs start to
show? You know, I was lucky enough and fortunate enough to be a coach to win two President's Trophies in a row, which meant first overall in the league, and the third year missed it by 2 points. So I can tell you what it's a great feeling, and you just keep pushing the button and saying, okay, why does it have to break? Why does it have to stop? And I always refer to Scotty Bowman when I hear these things back again, and Fred Shiro. Doesn't have to stop. Why do the fans say we have to go downhill? Why do the press say we don't have to? If we don't want to, we don't have to. We can keep this thing rolling right along, and the good teams do. But to answer your question, probably where you want to see them hitting at pace like this is about a month just before the playoffs and everything just settling in and grinding it out with them. That's where I look for it.
How do you plan, coaching? It always amazes me. And people don't realize getting to the top is hard. Staying at the top is darn near impossible.
It's harder.
And for you to win that many games over a three-year period, how often did you make it a point to change your approach, maybe change the things you said, maybe change practice just a little bit, maybe change the time of day, something?
Always. Give them an unexpected day off or an unexpected party for the wives and them. Just you come up with a little twist, a little different that you hadn't done. But I think the biggest thing is and you watch Lab and some of the coaches, is day-to-day talking. Now, you can't talk to a whole team in a day, but each day you can take two players or three and just, how's the wife? How are your two kids? You know the name of the wife, name of the kids. How's it going? How's you? Oh, yeah, how's little little Stilly? Is he still in school? Is he still bad? Whatever. Keep that rapport with your team, your players. And I know you can't hug them because the hug ain't going to last long. Then about a week down the road, you're going to kick them. But in the meantime, just open communication.
Do you think I should throw a party for the players then to make them like me? Because, you know, sometimes
you can throw five parties if you want. It ain't going to work. But
I'll
give it to you again. And I told you, I still respect the fact that even when you're being a know-what hole, you go back in the dressing room and face the music.
Hey, got to run around.
You want to nail me? I'm here, boys. Give it to me.
I feel like the one thing that I don't like is I don't like the idea of people that say things like, well, if you say it on the radio, you're just saying it behind their back. No, I'm not. Saying it on the radio is saying it to somebody's face because everybody hears it. So, I mean, you know, that's kind of my take on that. Crispy, good to see you, brother.
GM,
thank you.
I'm giving you a big 10 points tonight just for sitting here and not breaking up every time you look to your right.
I mean,
and
wait,
see the little panda bear.
Crispy's just
I'm out. I'm gone. If he'd been Chewbacca, I could live with that, but not a panda bear.
Terry Crisp, as always, presented by the Highland Group. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Are the Texans Super Bowl contenders?
Not sold on them at all because Bill O'Brien and his coaching staff, I'm not sold on them. I'm not sold on the Houston Texans defense with the absence, first of Jadeveon Clowney and now of J.J. Watt. Deshaun Watson is the truth and a half, but he's not enough in the AFC this year. I don't believe it.
Stephen A. says, hey, I believe in Deshaun Watson, the truth and a half, but not believing in the Texans. By the way, congratulations to Kyle Humphreys. He is the winner of our final pair of tickets for tonight's Halloween special, Preds and Calgary Flames tonight. The tickets will be at Will Call for Kyle, and of course our people will be in touch with him. A couple of AFC South stories I want to get to. Deshaun Watson, you heard Stephen A. right there say a truth, the truth and a half when describing Deshaun Watson. And I agree, and I have always believed that Deshaun Watson was a superstar player when he was even coming out. But he's AFC Player of the Month. Are the Texans the biggest threat to the Patriots right now in the AFC? They beat Kansas City at Kansas City. You know, they're atop of the AFC South, them in Indianapolis. Watson is playing at just a great level. I mean, I think there's a chance you could argue that New England's biggest threat might be Watson and the Texans.
Yeah, I don't think that's – I mean, I don't think they're there yet. You know, I still think Kansas City is going to be – when Mahomes gets back and gets rolling, he's going to be the threat to New England, in my mind.
You know what's crazy about Kansas City? I saw them flash up, like, all the info on Kansas City. Kansas City's 5-3. If the Titans could kick – they'd have the same record as Kansas City. Right. And that's where half the game was played by a guy who couldn't throw the ball. So, I mean, are we sure Kansas City's good?
Oh, I'm if the quarterback's
5-3?
Yeah.
He played against the Texans. He played against the Colts.
Yeah. If he's playing, they're going to be good. I'm not worried about that.
Okay, and then how far away are the Texans with Watson? How far away are they from you?
I don't see.
And how much does the Watt injury bring them back down to earth a little
bit? I think they're getting farther away.
Because of J.J.?
Yeah, because of the defense. And I think what's going to happen is people are going to realize and finally figure out a way to keep him in the pocket. And if they can do that, then it's a different game. So, I mean, you know, if there was anything that I were to emphasize when you're playing him, is you cannot let him run around with the ball. And you have got to do whatever. Now, it's going to affect your pass rush. But it's worth it in his case. So, you know, but I think their defense without J.J., without Clowney, you know, trying to get it done with one guy is going to be difficult. And I'm not sure their secondary is quite good enough to hang in there. I haven't seen Conley and how well he's doing or how he's adjusting to the system. But, I mean, generally speaking, they were a little bit lapsed, I think.
Through the midway point of the year, a lot of people believe that Frank Reich of the Colts is the NFL's coach of the year this year. Now, a lot of people say that because they lost Andrew Luck and they put in Brissett and they're still playing at a high level. I think Pro Football Focus, in terms of decision-making, now again, I don't believe Pro Football Focus, but it does aid in the argument here. They say that at the midway point, Reich is the coach of the year in the NFL, that he has made the best decisions in terms of coaching this season in the NFL. I will say this about Frank Reich, and I don't know exactly how to qualify it, but after a year and a half, I think he is a hell of a coach. And that's right. What scares me to death about the Colts, is that I think Reich is a fantastic coach. And I even look at Philadelphia, and I look at how Wentz has not been the same since Reich left Philadelphia. And I get worried about Indy just because I think they truly have a good team with a great coach.
He's done a great job. I mean, you can't deny that. Now, he also is one of those guys that you just hate because he goes for so many fourth down plays.
Cost him a game last year.
Yes.
Could have cost him here when he went for
does not convert on them all the time. And I know you hate that. So I know you couldn't really like a coach that does that. So I would say for me, I mean, coach of the year, Shanahan. I mean, going away with it.
In San Francisco?
Yeah.
Over Reich?
Oh, yeah. I don't even think it's close. I mean, what he's done or where they are right now with that team compared to where they have been over the last decade or whatever, I mean, he's working miracles. So, and he's doing it a little bit differently than, you know, their defense is outstanding. All those number one draft choices they've had over the last however many years they put in the defensive line, all those guys are maturing at the same time. And then they bring in Boza, who's a rookie, who's, I think he was like AFC player of the month or week or day or whatever. So I think they're good. Plus, you know, you can't name their running backs, and they run the ball as well as anybody in the NFL. I mean, they can run it.
And finally, after this week, the Jags will have to make a decision. Nick Foles or Gardner Minshew at quarterback? And Minshew has done everything you could have asked him to do as quarterback in Jacksonville in for Foles. Foles is making the money. I think the difference in salary is Foles is making $30 million this year when you add a signing bonus with his actual base, and Minshew's making $600,000. What do you do in Jacksonville if you're old Doug Marrone at quarterback?
Oh, wow. I don't think you have a choice. You got, you know, Foles comes back, you got to slide him in there, you know, and see what he can do. Does he keep the job? I don't know, you know, but I don't think you can.
How do you not have a quarterback controversy if you do that?
How do you not have a quarterback controversy if you do it? Either way, you're going to have a controversy. You know, people are going to be saying, wait a minute now, you're paying this guy $30 million a year and he's a backup to a rookie sixth rounder? What kind of mistake was that? You know? So I think they'll probably go with Foles just to see. I mean, it was, and the part that's always sad in these is, you know, had this kid been drafted last year, you know, Foles may not have never.
They would
had
need
an
Foles.
Issue. Yeah.
So. Do you think that they would? So I don't know. Like I'm not around Gardner Minshew, and I don't watch him every week. So I don't know if he's a flash in the pan or if he's legit.
I don't know.
if you're Tom Coughlin and you think Gardner Minshew is legit, I think you stay with Minshew, and then you look to deal Foles in the offseason. Now you'll have a lot
who's
of dead
gonna,
cap money if you do
gonna
that.
Who's
going
to deal for a $30 million a year backup quarterback?
Well, he's not a backup.
Let me say this: if he can't beat a rookie sixth rounder out, he's a backup.
Well, but we all understand the situation.
No, if he can't beat a
no,
rookie
we do. Stop
sixth
that.
Rounder.
Stop.
Out,
you don't think backup. Nick Foles? You don't think there's a market for Nick Foles if Gardner Minshew wins the job in Jacksonville?
No, because it's going to be a $30 million backup. You're not going to pay a backup $30 million.
Somebody who doesn't have a quarterback, Cincinnati, Tennessee, somebody will think Foles can be my starter. Just like Bridgewater, just like all these other guys that are going to hit it, I'm telling you, they will think Foles can be my starter. And you can say, $30 million backup. You can say that. Doesn't matter. People will not consider him a backup quarterback.
$30 million.
Just like they didn't consider him a backup quarterback this offseason.
$30 million is what you pay a franchise quarterback, a good franchise quarterback, and you're going to pay a backup $30 million? No.
Well, they would be bringing Foles in to start.
Again.
Cincinnati, somebody like that?
I don't believe it.
Ian, how flawed is Floyd's logic?
I mean,
$30 million.
It's a good question. I don't know who they're going to start.
Do you think if they pick Minshew?
Who's paid more than $30 million a year?
Rodgers, Ryan.
Two guys.
And Russell and Ben.
And you're going to bring in somebody.
Rodgers, Ryan, Russell, and Ben.
And pay him $30 million. No, you're not going to
do that.
That's what
Jacksonville did.
No, they did not.
Foles was the backup in Philadelphia.
No, well, they brought him in to be the starter.
That's what Cincinnati or whoever else would do to bring him in.
He couldn't start at Philadelphia, and now he can't beat out a rookie sixth rounder?
He won the Super Bowl.
And you think he's going to start for you?
Yes, he won the Super Bowl. He's proven he can be a starting quarterback. Hey, you would say the same thing, right? He couldn't start in Philadelphia. He couldn't start in Kansas City. He couldn't start in Los Angeles. And they gave him $30 million in Philadelphia,
because
in Jacksonville.
Thought he was going to be the starter.
And somebody else will think that.
No, they won't. Not for $30 million. No, they won't. For $2 million, like we got for Tannehill? Sure.
No, they will think that.
Give me a look, but they are not going to pay $30 million.
All right, even though the GM has taken his crazy pills today, it is time for Ask the GM.
You're going to pay a backup $30 million, and you're calling me crazy. Four guys in the whole league make that much money. But you're going to convince your owner that we can pay him $30 million.
Ask the GM. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. Everything on the table, Ask the GM. Presented by Bob's Steak and Chop House and Pella Windows in Nashville. 615-737-1025. And the best call for the GM will win a pair of tickets to see Nashville SC take on Indy 11 at First Tennessee Park for the Eastern Conference semifinals of the USL playoff this Saturday. That's for the best call for the GM. 615-737-1025. Ask the GM. Presented by Bob's Steak and Chop House, Pella Windows in Nashville. That is next, live from Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena, it's ESPN 102.5, The Game.